You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Chicago White Sox edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined by Scott Merkin, fresh off the links, right, Merk? The
White Sox. You got it. You got it a quick 10 holes this morning as part of the White Sox charity's Field of Greens. Great cause. Great turnout, too. I was a quote-unquote celebrity, which makes sense since Bo Jackson was another one of the celebrities. And when you say Bo Jackson, the name Scott Merkin follows shortly thereafter, usually.
Absolutely. Yeah, multi-sport stars.
Bo Jackson, Scott Merkin is not close to him in terms of athletes. That's how they usually follow in that order.
Well, only 10 holes, Merk? You couldn't go the full 18? What the heck?
No, you know, I hadn't played in 6 years, Anthony, and got a little bit, you know, as the age creeps up, got a little bit of the bad back, so I decided I'm going to call it quits at 10 and live to fight another battle, so to speak.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well,
thankfully, it was baseball, because although I will say that I think it was the seventh hole we played, I was the one who saved par for the group. So that's my one crowning glory of this morning. And I only swung and missed once while I was playing, so that's pretty good.
I got to say, I would much rather watch a broadcast of you on the links, Merk. That would be even better than the British Open playoff. But speaking of playoffs, the White Sox, they're trying to get there. It's not looking good, Merk, I got to say. It's not looking good. They dropped 3 of 4 against the Royals over the weekend, kind of the same old story there with the offense just not getting things going. And, of course, with the trade deadline a week and a half away, the White Sox are one of those teams, you know, that people's eyes gravitate towards. I know there are reports out there this week about them being willing to listen to offers about Jeff Samardzija. And no surprise, they're not. It doesn't sound like they're interested in doing a total gutting of this club by any means. By that, I mean Chris Sale or Jose Abreu or anything crazy like that. Samardzija is the one guy on this club who has tangible trade value and is, of course, a pending free agent.
Well, I think there's a – I wrote about this morning before I went out and golfed, actually. A busy day for me. I think that, you know, they really don't have to you know, I know a lot of fans are aggravated, and I get it, you know. People talk about they're the worst team in baseball in the last 3 years. But remember, you know, after about June and 13 to the start of this year, they really weren't trying to win. They were trying to strengthen the core of the team, the base of the team, and, you know, become competitive for a long time. So, you know, I know you hate to write off years, but hey, they did it on the north side of town, and it seems to be they did this kind of maybe more in-depth plan on the north side, and it seems to be paying huge dividends this year. They look like, you know, they're a playoff team as we talk today. But I think Samardzija makes sense because of the fact that if you really don't think you're going to be in contention, and let's face it, they don't look like a playoff team. Whatever happened with Kansas City or anything else, they've been a 500 to slightly below 500 team this entire year. This does not look like a playoff team right now. The thing about Samardzija is you can trade him and still go after him in free agency in the offseason, so you can really kind of double down on that bet. And, I mean, you know, he hasn't officially said it, but it looks, barring something shocking, that he will test the free agent market and kind of bet on himself. I would say if you really want to get out there, you could probably explore trades for, not explore, but listen to serious, serious offers for Jose Quintana. Now, Quintana is one of the steadier pitchers you're going to find. With a good offensive team behind him, he'd probably be a 15-win guy, whatever wins matter at this point. Consistent 7-inning guy every time out. But the thing is, you know, you're not trading Chris Sale. You're not trading Carlos Rodon. And John Danks has got another year in the contract. And just, you know, he's a fifth starter who's going to make, you know, 14-some million next, 14 and 15, between 14 and 15 million next year. So you're not going to trade him. And so you got four lefties. Now, again, it's not a bad thing if they're all pitching well, and they all have pitched, you know, decently at some point this year. Some very good, as Chris Sale and Quintana have, and Rodon a little bit too. But I think if you're going to move one of those, maybe try and fill in some other deficiencies, Quintana would certainly be an interesting guy. Now, the flip side of that is he's controlled the 2020. And you don't want to weaken, you know, your strongest suit. But again, right. These, you know, suggestions about trade Sale and start from ground up. Nah, I don't think they need to do that. I don't think any team really. I don't follow the Phillies enough to include them, I guess, or the Marlins. But I don't think any team is that far off that you have to gut it and then go back and contend. You know, you can't contend the next year. I think the Sox have enough good pieces that with a couple of shrewd moves by Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams that they can be a contender in 2016.
Samardzija hasn't made any of this easy on the White Sox as far as giving a clear direction. You know, is he a guy you want to re-sign for long-term? or is he a guy who has, you know, a huge amount of trade value at this deadline? He's been a very up and down year, 4.34 ERA going back to the beginning of June. But then he'll have a start like that one against Toronto, his last start before the break, where he throws a complete game shutout against the best lineup in baseball. It's just kind of been that Jekyll and Hyde routine this season.
And, you know, he has, I think, 11 of his last 12 starts. He's gone seven innings or more. So, you know, yeah. I don't know if Jeff Samardzija has shown himself to be, you know, Chris Sale this year. Well, he hasn't shown himself to be Chris Sale. But I think Jeff Samardzija is the kind of guy you pay a lot of money for because you know what you're going to get from him. You know, I know his strikeout average is down a little bit this year. And, you know, he may not have been the pitcher, the exact pitcher he's been the last couple of years where he really seemed to be coming into his own. But you slide him in at number two or number three in your rotation, and you're pretty well off. I mean, I think the Sox, from all I've heard, are interested in keeping him. Now, you know, they'd have to, I think, really knock him out just from the little I've heard and the little I've talked to him to get him to sign before testing free agency. But I think, again, as I said, you can trade him. You can get the, you know, the profits from that and then go after him hard in the offseason if that's what you want to do. So I think you can get, you know, the best of both. And I think, I know, I've talked to some scouts, and playoff teams are interested in Jeff Samardzija. There's no question about it. There's no question that, you know, a team in contention would like to add him to the rotation. In this day and age, you pay a lot of money for guys who can work deep into games and work consistently like that and keep you in games because, you know, they're not as many as there used to be.
That is true. Hey, sticking with the pitching conversation here, Mark, I don't know how much attention you paid to Kyle Drabek, but he put up some good numbers in AAA, I saw. You know, and I guess that's a guy who they'd only turn to if they did deal out of this rotation in the next couple weeks. But any thoughts on Drabek? This was once a very highly regarded prospect who
right.
kind of fizzled out. What are the thoughts on him right now?
Well, I think he recently went on the DL, but, you know, he's had a great run for Charlotte, and he's in that mix. You know, I mean, that was a move they made at the end of spring training. He broke camp with the team, and, you know, I think he could be up there. I mean, again, you can also make moves to give guys like, and this is based on the fact that the Sox don't think they can get in this year to playoff contention. Now, you know, they're seven back in the wild card behind both the Astros and the Twins, but they also have like eight teams. I mean, they're closer to being the worst record in the American League than they are to a playoff team right now.
Right.
And there's a lot of teams to jump, and you can say, well, you win 8 of 10, you jump three teams, but, you know, it's almost like kind of coming back from a 20-point deficit in the NBA. You see a lot of teams do that, and by the time they get there, they're out of gas and can't finish the victory there. So, you know, I think Drabek could be one of them. I think if you look at trades for Alexi Ramirez, now, again, I don't know what the market is for him at this point because he's really, after coming up a great year last year, he's had a very, you know, down year this season. But would a team like the Mets, you know, want to plug in a veteran guy who's got some playoff experience, who's got big game experience, has had some big hits over his career, you know, has played much better defense over the last month? Would they want to give up someone to plug him in shortstop? He's got a $10 million club option for next year, and I don't think the Sox will pick that up with Tim Anderson in the wing. So maybe you try and move him and let Tyler Saladino play the rest of the year at shortstop. He's more of a natural shortstop and third baseman. And maybe even though he's not hitting very well or consistently right now at Charlotte, you take a look at Matt Davidson and see if that's really anything there. Is that going to be your future? Is that going to be anything? So I think those are the kind of moves that Rick Hahn can make where it can help the team now, you know, kind of like what they did with the Jake Peavy deal. Everyone won in that deal. Jake Peavy goes to Boston, wins the World Series. Iglesias was the shortstop Detroit needed. He's one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball. And the Sox not only get Avi Garcia, who, you know, is still in the developmental stage. You know, he missed all of last year, basically. And now you got Frank Montas, one of the harder throwers in the game, period. Not just the minor or major league level. He is one of the harder throwers, period. So, you know, it was a good trade for him. Those are the kind of trades I think the Sox are going to be looking for right now. They're not going to be looking just to get rid of, as far as I know, there's no edict to just cut salary and start getting rid of guys.
Merck, over the weekend, the 10-year reunion of the 2005 team. What was that experience like? Especially having covered that team. What was it like seeing? They had a lot of turnout. Is the main takeaway? I guess they had what, 25 guys come out?
Yeah, we all reminisced how young I was 10 years ago when the White Sox won the World Series, and how much that has changed in the 10-year period.
Yeah,
no, it was great. It was great. You know, I thought one of the key things was really just to see Ozzie Guillen in his element. You know, Ozzie he loved that team. He was the perfect manager for that team. He was the perfect manager for how that team went up and down, and, you know, shouldering some of the attention when the team was struggling, and letting them have the attention when they were playing well. And he just really seemed like the prodigal son had come home. And I'm not saying he's going to come back and manage tomorrow or be third base coach or anything, but It just seemed like he was back as a, you know, in the organization as a great fit. And it was good to see him, and it was good to see all the guys. You know, Carl Everett, Aaron Rowan, Joe Kreid. I'm not going to list them all because they're not at the time, and I'm going to leave someone out. But it, you saw just the camaraderie that group had, and it's special. You know, as some, I forgot which player said it to me, but I think it was Pod Sednik said that, you know, any championship team developed its own kind of feel for each other, its own chemistry. But this one even went beyond. And I still think one of the more underrated, kind of undervalued champions, a team that led from start to finish, never was in second place a day in the season. 99 regular season wins, 11-1 in the postseason, four straight complete games in the ALCS, and they finished the season with 16 wins and 17 games overall. So that's a pretty darn good run by that team. And, you know, won a lot of close games. And people really enjoyed some. Now, I know the Sox fans are, you know, kind of torn. They love their champion. It's like the Bears fans love their, you know, Monsters of the Midway champion, you know, the Ditka year. But much like the Bears, the Sox would like another champion. But you can look back while looking forward at the same time and always appreciate what you have there.
That team really got tested down the stretch that season. You mentioned they went wire to wire as far as leading the division, but got a little nippy there going into September, I remember.
Yeah, I still argue about Cleveland that I think the Sox were in decent shape to snare a wild card if for some reason Cleveland made that gap up. But trust me, no one wanted to, you know, sneak in as a wild card when you were 37 over 500, or maybe even 39 over 500 at one point, and had a 15-game lead. And then I remember it had chopped to a game and a half. I distinctly remember Bob Wickman saving a game where the tying run was Konerko, and he swung and popped it up, and Konerko, like, flipped the bat. You don't see this much from Konerko, like, emotion like that, where he knew, like, he just missed the pitch. And if I'm not mistaken, Joe Creedy hit a walk-off the next night, and that kind of saved the season. I still think to this day that after they clinched in Detroit and them going into Cleveland that weekend and sweeping Cleveland and knocking Cleveland out was kind of like their catharsis to get through that run and kind of turn it back on for the postseason.
Absolutely. They probably needed that. And a tight race in September was probably good for them in the long run. They got October. And I remember the Ozzie Guillen doing the slash in his neck when the Indians were swept in that series.
Yeah, Ozzie had some moments. What a great guy to cover and just the only problem is you were always tight on deadline getting stuff in, you know, before the game because you could never leave Ozzie's session. And I used to joke with Scott Reifert, the VP Communications, that after Ozzie was done, they should sell, like, put tables around the dugout there because, you know, he'd basically just talk about anything. So, you know, he'd talk 10, 12 minutes about the team and then go about another 20 minutes about baseball, politics, whatever. Very, very entertaining guy and a great bait. One of the things that's very underrated about him because of some of the, you know, the media stuff that surrounded him over the years is a really great baseball guy, too.
Absolutely. All right. I want to thank Scott Merkin for taking time away from his busy golf schedule to do this podcast. And hope you replaced all your divots out there, Merk.
A few. I'm going to try the U.S. Amateur whenever that's next. I might be a little old for that at this point, though.
It's possible. But all right. Thank you, Merk, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extra, Chicago White Sox edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.